Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. More analysis of your Toronto Blue Jays and Major League Baseball. This is Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
All right, welcome to Baseball Central for Monday, June 20th. Happy day after Father's Day.
Hi, Jeff.
Howdy. Jeff Blair. Good to see you. Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker.
How was your Father's Day?
Father's Day was outstanding. Nice, relaxing.
Well, you always come in here and brag about what you did in your backyard. I grilled. Well, it's not like it was so good.
It was tremendous. It was tremendous. It was a tremendous
Father's
Day.
Well, I live in a condo and can't grill. It's awesome. Thanks for doing that every time you come in here. But every weekend, you do the same thing.
You've got like four houses, so you should be able to have one that has a grill. I mean, you've got the Barker Estates.
They're really far away, though.
Yeah, well. But Barker Estates.
Traffic.
You've got Barker Estates West in Denver.
It's funny. No, I do not.
You used to.
Not anymore.
Your Toronto Blue Jays, Kevin Barker. Oh, they did not have a good Father's Day. It was a mother of a Father's Day. Can I say that? See what I did for the Blue Jays, 11-6 losers to the Baltimore.
I think it's more one guy than it was everybody else, right?
Maybe I suppose I understand that there's a sense of crisis about Marcus Stroman. I don't get it. He's not pitching well, and you got to have faith that he's going to get it back together. That's the way I look at it. I think it's pretty simple. I don't know what people want him to go to the bullpen.
We can't.
It's not going to work.
We'll
send him down to Buffalo so he can learn to sort of battle back through all the pitfalls. He's not facing good players at AAA for the most part. So
thank you for that. I played AAA.
You know what I mean.
Thank you for
that. You know what I mean, though. You know what I mean. He's not, for Marcus Stroman to be as good as he's going to be, he's got to figure it out up here. And here's the thing. Here's the thing about Marcus Stroman. The reason that I wouldn't touch him, his ERA against the American League East is over 6. His ERA against the rest of baseball is under 3. They don't play the American League East for his next 5 starts. It works out roughly 4 mm-hmm. starts. So let's see him against these other teams. Let's see how he does and then make a call on him. He had the start before this. He appeared to improve, right?
Yeah, but it's the team he was facing. Let's face it. Yeah. I think that's one of those starts where you...
Again, gets to my point. Because they're playing some not very good teams coming up. They've got Arizona. I think you stick with him. If you want to use the off days coming up and the Jays are off today and then they're off Thursday to push mm-hmm. him back, I'm okay with that. Maybe let him work in the bullpen a little bit. Try to figure out why he can't stay on top of the ball. But he's not gonna do that in Buffalo.
Yeah, well,
he's just not. You know what's gonna happen if he goes to Buffalo? This is what's gonna happen. If he goes to Buffalo, he's gonna outthink himself, and I think there's a chance the Jays will end up losing him for this year.
Yeah, I'll say this. I don't think they have any choice. There's no way you can go to Buffalo with what you're gonna do with Aaron Sanchez. That's gonna happen sooner probably than later. If you send Marcus Stroman down, you'd have 2 spots to fill.
You could bring Drew up.
Well, sure you could, but long term,
right.
That's you're not going to get where you want to be when both of those guys are not around.
100%.
So, you know, it's one of those things where you hope that Pete Walker, between his starts, can get it done between the years. It has nothing to do with his stuff. His stuff's there, he's throwing just as hard. Yesterday, he was throwing harder than I'd seen him throw. That tells me. He's trying to make the ball sink. When you try and make balls do things that you normally don't do, it's just not going to happen. And I'll get back to that time where, they had the conversation about him, having that spiel on the bench. And then after that, he hasn't really been the same. It's been basically like, you know, when a guy's a certain way, you have to let the guy be himself. And to me, when he walks to the mound, he just doesn't look himself. Whether it's it doesn't have anything to do with his stuff. It's location of his stuff.
Well, most people seem to think that it comes down to the fact that that he's, you know, he's not staying.
He's
on
the side of the ball.
He's
not on top. But I've said this before, and I used to be a player. And whenever I struggle, it gets back to your point. You can outthink yourself, and it's going to get to the point where you just say, if you're Marcus Stroman, enough's enough. If I'm going to go four innings, if I'm going to go five innings, here is my best stuff for five innings. See if you can hit it. Enough of that worrying about where my hand's at, where mm-hmm. I'm landing, how I act on the mound. Go to the mound, be yourself. Throw it where the catcher sets up. Give him your best stuff for whatever, however many pitches. If it's 90, if it's 115, if it's five innings, if it's four innings, if it's 3 2/3, if that's the case, go out there and give your best stuff. Act like Marcus Stroman. He does that, he's going to succeed at this level. If he does not, Jeff, he's not going to, because let's face it, when you throw 93 on the plate and up to the Orioles, what happens? 3 2/3, 10 hits, 7 earned runs, 4 Ks, 1 home run given up. That's what happens. Instead, next time you go out, you said it, he's not facing the American League East anymore for a long time. This is where he gets confidence. Get confidence, go set up. If you're going to get beat, I said this, he gets beat a lot with secondary pitches. He's a sinker ball guy. Why don't you get beat with sinker balls? Stop throwing when you fall behind. When you get guys on base, stop going to secondary pitches. You're a sinker ball pitcher. Establish sinker ball. If you throw a good sinker ball to a team, they're not going to hit you, plain and simple, because that's what the sinker does. You can't elevate. You can't put the big part of the bat on the baseball. You can't drive the ball up the middle the other way, because that's normally what you want to do with good sinkers. Until he starts throwing the good sinker and gets the attitude back, I don't know. I think it's that cut and dry. It's that simple for him. He has to pitch with an edge, with attitude. Last 7 starts, he hasn't done that.
Arden Zwelling had an interesting point in his article, his game story. No pitcher in baseball has given up more balls of 99-plus miles per hour in play. Marcus Stroman gave up 7 on Sunday. It's 104 this season. In other words, teams are making hard contact.
And I would think to say that quite a bit of those are secondary pitches, breaking balls, sliders, mm-hmm. that he's not saying, okay, if I'm going to throw this thing, I'm going to throw it down as hard as I can. I'm going to get at, again, it gets back to that. You got 95 pitches, get after it with 95 pitches. Don't just throw secondary pitches and then elevate a fastball when you fall behind in the count because you're trying to overthrow a sinker. That's not pitching to me. If you want to see the light at the end of the tunnel, you got to start. It's got to be small. You got to start somewhere. And to me right now, it's got to start with his attitude. It just, he's not the same as he was at the end of the season last year. The end of the season last year, you knew he was on the mound. No? Yes? You knew mm-hmm. an opposing team, we would come on here and say, man, look how he throws every pitch with conviction. He's jumping around the mound. He's holding up how many outs there is. He's involved in the game. The last 7 starts, you see that? No, you don't. That's what I say. You got to, if you're going to go down fighting. Go down with your best stuff. Act how you are. Marcus Stroman is a certain kind of player and pitcher with attitude. Get it back. If you don't get it back, you're not going to be here. It's this. That's what this level's all about. I had to learn the hard way, and he'll learn the hard way. Giving a guy a leash a little bit. Well, right now his leash is, you can say, he's getting a little bit shorter, right? Because they're in a pennant race. They're trying to be the team in the American League East. They want to be one of the best teams in baseball. Yeah, he struggled for a little while. They're going to give him a little bit of that leash to figure it out. But when do you say enough's enough if you're the Blue Jays and Mark Shapiro? And
yeah, but we're not there yet. We're not there yet.
That's the question. When are you there? That's the question.
Well, I think, again, he's out of the American League East. You use these off days to push him back. Let him work on a few things.
What would pushing him back do? Okay, he thinks about it more. That's his problem.
Well,
now he's overthinking it.
My point is, you've got the option to do it if you want. I'm just saying it's an option. Give him time to if he's got to work on something, give him time to work on it in the bullpen. I'm just saying it's an option. But they were going to do it anyhow. That's the other thing to keep in mind, is the Jays were going to use these off days to try to give Aaron Sanchez and him a blow because they're worried about innings. But other than that, this is a guy that the Blue Jays are counting on. And I think at the trade deadline, you're going to see this team try to add another starting pitcher, regardless of whether Stroman is good or whether Sanchez is in the bullpen or whether Drew Hutchison's up here. This team is going to add another starting pitcher at the deadline. Probably not going to be an ace, but they're going to add a guy that can fill up the back end of the rotation. And I let Stroman keep going.
I think that's what it is, right? I think it's more of not having a choice.
Unless you can find me somebody who is measurably better than him, and I'm not convinced Drew Hutchison's not tearing up AAA. Yep. Wade LeBlanc is having a good year at AAA, but Wade LeBlanc is Wade LeBlanc.
You said it earlier.
He's a slop-throwing left. Yep. You know, he's a slop-thrower who's going to get lit up when he comes up here. I mean, you know, Mike Wilner made the point on the Blue Jays talk yesterday. It was perfect. I don't know if you remember. People for weeks were excited about Randy Wolf when the Jays had him.
Yeah.
You know, they pulled Randy Wolf off the scrap heap. Sure. And somebody went down and watched him in Buffalo and said, my God, this guy could help the Blue Jays. Again, there are reasons that those guys are where they are. They're not going to be a long-term or even an intermediate-term answer for anything. So I think you stick with Marcus Stroman. And if you're John Gibbons, you essentially approach every Marcus Stroman thought with the idea that, okay, this is basically on. I got to be prepared for this to be a bullpen.
Okay, so what do? You put him in spots he can succeed. If his rotation comes around every 5 days, that it's an American League East team.
But here's the thing,
Kevin. What you do?
We don't have to worry about that for another 6 weeks. They don't play an American League East team till July 29th.
Okay.
We don't have to worry about that. That's if July 29th rolls around and he's still scuffling, then you got an issue.
Yeah.
But we don't have to worry about him against American League East teams. Let's see him against some of these other teams.
And it's obvious against American League East teams, it's between his ears a little bit more than it was against other teams.
I don't, you know what, Kevin? I don't know if it's that or it's that I think American League East teams, I'd like to look at the numbers. I think they've seen an awful lot of Marcus Stroman. I think most of Marcus Stroman's starts, if I'm not mistaken, I think most of Marcus Stroman's starts have been against the American League East in a relatively short period of time while he is still developing as a pitcher. You know, it's funny. Someone made this point the other day. We talked about how we're kind of watching Marcus Stroman grow up in front of our eyes. Well, every team in the American League East is watching him grow up in front of their eyes because they see him all the time.
Yeah.
So there's very few secrets. I think in a lot of ways, he's been exposed a little too much.
Okay, first question I would have that. What's the difference between him and Marco Estrada? American League East has seen a lot of Marco Estrada.
Marco Estrada is a much smarter pitcher. Right now, Marco Estrada is smarter than Marcus Stroman.
I don't agree with that. I think it's more location. You can say what you want. If Marcus Stroman throws the sinker at the knees down and away, he's getting people out. I think it's that simple. That's what the sinker's all about. It's not about striking people out. It's about being efficient and getting early outs via the ground ball. What did he get? 4 ground balls yesterday?
He did not. Yeah, not so as that, many.
That's the difference. And I think we sometimes overthink it and try and say, well, Estrada's smarter than Stroman. To me, that's got nothing to do with it.
Well, no, but
it's about pitch selection,
Kevin,
and where you throw it.
He's more mature. He's been around longer. He's had his ass handed to him. He is a more advanced guy than Marcus Stroman is. He is smarter in pitching terms than Marcus Stroman is. He understands what his limitations are more than Marcus Stroman does. He understands his mechanics more than Marcus Stroman does.
I guess.
You know.
We maybe agree to disagree on that one. I think it's about location. Marco Estrada, what's he do most of the time? He gets ahead with a four-seam fastball down in the way. He elevates in and up to left-handers, and then he tries to get you out, down, and away efficiently. That's what he does, right? And he has one pitch he can go to all the time. Does Stroman have any of those things right now, the last seven starts?
Well, he was okay. No. Again, he was decent against the Phillies. Of Marcus Stroman's 39 starts, 24 have come against American League East. Really doesn't. I mean, that makes sense because he pitches in the American League East. But you take a look at the number of games the Jays have played against the American League East this year. You take a look at the fact that Marcus Stroman came back against the American League East last year. I think we may have a case where the American League East has seen so much of this guy that they know that they know exactly.
It's going to be real tough to baby him around the American League East teams when he does have to pitch to him, because we can say the next four or five starts, no.
But that's fine.
But after that, he's going to have to pitch the American League East, right?
Yeah, but let's – if he has four good starts and gets it worked out, then it's fine. He's still a better choice than anything else
you
have.
I'll still say this. The way you hear Pete Walker speak about Marcus Stroman, if you go to Stroman and ask him, you ask anybody in that starting rotation, they make quality pitches and quality times of the game. You're going to get people out,
whether it's the American League East or
anywhere else.
Every pitcher does that.
Okay, well, that's what you're here for. You're one of the one or two in your rotation, and Marcus Stroman is that for the Blue Jays.
Well, hold it. Now, again, who said that? Who said that he's number one or number two?
For them to get where they have to be or want to be, he's going to have to be one of the two guys.
Why?
Because Sanchez is not going to be here all season.
Why can't
Marco? And then after that, you probably got one guy you can count on basically every 5 days, right?
Why can't Marco Estrada or Jay Happ be better than?
I just find it hard to believe that you can. Estrada, I think, has taken that over, being the number one guy. We can both agree on that, correct?
Yeah, I think so.
Jay Happ, can you really say every 5 days that's your number two guy? You know what you're going to get every time he goes
number
out.
Number one, yeah. number two, yeah, number three, number four, number you're five, it need doesn't
that
matter.
Towards the end of the season, yeah, you're going to need that.
Kevin, it doesn't, just because somebody says that, oh, Marcus Stroman's the ace.
We're not saying that. We're saying on stuff and reliability, guys that go out and consistently get guys out when they know how you're going to throw to them. You can say that about one guy here, right? Right now. That's Estrada. We're just saying facts here. We're not trying to make things up. What you're saying
holds true for every pitcher. Quality pitches at quality times. Well, yeah, everybody's got to do that. I think people, this is the thing. Not only is Marcus Stroman overthinking, we're overthinking Marcus Stroman. It's a young guy who has gotten his tits beaten up by the American League East. He's not in the American League East now. Let's see it play out now. If in the next two starts, he's still scuffling, okay, then we can address it.
Okay.
But unless y'all got a better, I can't believe I said y'all. Unless there's a better option out there, I mean, I'm sorry.
I didn't say there was better options. We're trying to find light at the end of the tunnel here. That's what we're trying to do with a certain guy. What do you have to do to get back to what you were at the end of the season last year? I would think that you probably have to stay on top of the ball. There you go.
Well, then stay on top of the freaking ball. Is it that simple? It should be,
Well, obviously it's not, because he hasn't done it the last seven starts. And you're telling
me... That's not true. He did it the last start. No, he didn't.
No, it was the team he was facing. It wasn't like against the Phillies. He lived at the knees and dominated that team. No,
but
it was the team he was facing. The
suggestion was he did a much better job of it against the Phillies, and he didn't do
what
it
What he
yesterday.
Did, they got a... What I, remember when I said when he was facing them, the best thing could happen to Marcus Stroman, they go out and get a big lead. What happened?
Yeah, but
they went out and got a big lead. He could go out there. He pounded the strikes on it. It didn't matter if he left a ball up and got hit hard one time. Well, in the American League East, you can't do that.
For those of you, by the way, who need to share your grief, I'm going to give you a couple of numbers. This is both after 15 starts. This one pitcher has thrown 96 in the third innings. The other's thrown 94 in two-thirds innings. One pitcher's given up 106 hits. The other's given up 102. One pitcher is a 5.23 ERA. The other is a 5.32 ERA. Dallas Keuchel's ERA is worse than Marcus Stroman's. His ground ball percentage is a little higher than Marcus Stroman's. Batting average balls in play is .331. Stroman's is .319. He struck out more batters than Stroman has, 87 to 67, giving up more home runs. He's given up, as I said, 102 hits to Stroman's 106 hits. Just throwing that out there, that there are a couple of pitchers in baseball who struggles kind of mirror Marcus Stroman. That doesn't mean that it's necessarily the same thing causing. The bigger concern for me, quite frankly, aside all these numbers, is how hard the contact has been. Because that suggests to me that guys are on your pitch. And maybe what really stands out to me about watching Marcus Stroman, and I would say five of his last seven starts, is guys aren't missing. Guys aren't being fooled.
Well, the first thing that stands out to me is, besides his attitude is different on the mound. He just looks different. He walks around the mound different. He accepts the ball different. There's something to that. It's just not him.
Until he gets that, that's
90% of the battle, because that's the way he plays.
Yeah.
other than that, it's he overthrows the sinker, it's elevated, it's up, and the cement mixer on the breaking ball, basically he's just flipping it in there.
Yep.
Instead of basically saying, I got 95 pitches, I'm going to get after you early, I'm going to get ahead with my best pitch, which is my power sinker, and then I'm going to start throwing breaking balls in the dirt to try and get you to chase. I'm not just going to flip it in there and let you hit it. That's what it seems to me like he's trying to do. And until he gets the main thing back, which is attitude and the mojo. We talk about the mojo with a lot of people. What makes David Ortiz David Ortiz? He has mojo. He walks around like he's David Ortiz and he can hit the ball. It's attitude. Kevin, you have to think you can hit the ball.
Yeah, but mojo. Okay? I mean,
I used
mojo.
To try and do this. It's hard when you don't think you can hit it. Well, pitchers are no different.
Yeah, but I mean,
baseball's
now you're
between
getting,
the
years. Now you're getting into the whole bit about chemistry and makeup and all that, which is important. Yeah. But you've got to have fast hands to be a good hitter. I mean, you do. You've got to have fast hands to
believe,
be a good
hitter. Believe you can hit. That's the main thing. Okay?
Yeah, I don't think anybody gets to the majors unless they believe they can hit. I'm just...
the old saying is, it's not hard to get there, it's hard to stay there, right? Okay, well, that's... That aren't we seeing that now with Stroman?
Yeah,
there you go.
You probably figured out by now that I believe more than anything else that everything can be explained by technical stuff more than mental stuff. I just do.
The baseball is I will say almost probably more than 90%. You got to talk yourself into certain things. And right now, to me, this is just coming from me. Mm-hmm. I haven't sat down and had a conversation with Marcus, but what I saw at the end of the season last year and what I'm seeing now, the way he's walking around the mound is different.
Oh, he is different on the mound.
So until he gets that back.
There's no doubt about that.
Talk himself into being good. Sometimes you do that.
The Jays did, with the exception of Saturday, they brought the bats out against Baltimore.
Tulo's back, huh?
Big time. Tulo's back. Tulo looked good. But they're without Jose Bautista now. We're awaiting further word. I gather Jose Bautista is going to meet with a specialist today. We'll have a better idea of what exactly is the injury with the left big toe. Quite frankly, I'm always concerned when after an X-ray and an MRI, you're still not entirely certain what you have. That kind
doesn't
of
sound good.
That kind of concerns me.
Anything with your feet or your hands is bad.
So the Jays will make do right now with Ezekiel Carrera in right field. I'll ask you, Kevin. So much of the good stuff that has happened to the Blue Jays happened when Jose Bautista went into the leadoff spot. From that point on, that series against Minnesota, things seemed to start to kind of tick together, and everything seemed to start to work. Look, we know Jose Bautista is no longer the defender he was. Gosh, I want to say 2 years ago, his batting average is down this year. It's not been a great offensive season for Jose. But he still gets treated with a lot of respect by opposing pitchers. Can this team take a shot at a playoff spot this year if they're without Jose Bautista for, let's say, a month?
Yes. And I think the more Devin Travis starts to hit, I know we had conversations about it. He may be the guy that's being sent down. He's swinging his way into not being
good.
That way.
He looked awfully good.
He did. And if he keeps doing that, driving the ball to all parts of the field, and I've said this quite a few times, and I had this conversation with Devin, when he starts learning how to pull the baseball in the big leagues, he's going to be a tremendous hitter because right now he's one-sided, up the middle the other way. When he starts hitting that fastball in and pulling that ball and driving it, he's going to take his game to the next level, and he's starting to do that. And if he starts doing that more and he can lead off and get on base, and that takes a lot of pressure off of Donaldson and Edwin, yeah, they can. Because I think they still have Donaldson and Encarnacion. If they have those two guys and one of those two guys can carry the team and you get guys on in front of one of those two guys, yeah, I think they can. But just because, to me, Jose all year has not been hitting the fastball. Mm-hmm. And what's he done the last 4 or 5 years better than anybody in baseball? Hit the fastball. When he got it, he usually never missed it. Now, even though, up until the point where he'd gotten hurt and went on the DL, he was missing the fastball. When he got it, he was missing it. He was either fouling it off or he was trying to hit it too hard. You can't do that. So, yeah, I think they can. Somebody's got to go into the leadoff spot, and one of the two big guys has got to carry it. If they do that, yeah, and I think, again, it gets back to that bullpen. They have to start winning games they're supposed to win. Yep. When they have the lead, late in games, they have to win those games. If they can do that, yeah.
Did you see anything in Tulo's approach at the plate that you weren't seeing before he went down with the quad injury?
It's funny you mentioned that.
I know, because I know that you were watching him. I know that you were watching him bat closely.
Yeah,
and I'm going to say home run was to left, double was to right.
Yeah, but I'll say this. Chris Tillman threw him a 2-0 fastball right down the middle before he hit the home run on a 2-1 changeup. Mm-hmm. That, to me, had a little red flag because most guys, 2-0 count, what's that? That's a fastball count. Anybody, whenever I played, I'd try to rearrange my vertebrae trying to hit that thing really, really far.
Right.
Because that's what you do, and then somebody throw you a changeup, you'd be way out in front. Your swing would look weird. He took it. That tells me he's looking all speed because he wants to get the bat head out in front with guys in scoring position. He wants to drive that baseball. He's a veteran guy that thinks, okay, maybe I'm not as quick as I used to be. I'm going to change my way of thinking and fastball counts. I may take that pitch to go to a breaking ball count, get the bat head out. I can elevate either a breaking ball or a changeup. I can drive that baseball to left field. I can help my team that way. That's what I'm starting to see. He's a little bit smarter.
Well, I was going to say now, is that, and we're up against a break here, but I'll make this very quickly. Give me this answer in like 30 seconds if you could. Is that an indication that he realizes he's not the hitter he once
100%.
Was?
100%. Sometimes that's the first thing when you're a veteran guy. It took a while for me to learn it. That's the thing. If I'm not as quick, now I have to change my way of thinking. That tells me Chris Tillman is going to throw you a 2-0 fastball.
Right.
Because that's what he does. He's confident with it. He's having a good year. He's going to come right after you. What's he do? He takes it. It's right down the middle. And the next pitch, he's a little bit out in front of the changeup because he's trying to drive the baseball. He knows he can elevate that. It's smart hitting. It's a hitter that's made the adjustment. That's what I'm saying.
Cliff Floyd will join us, and we may have a few Euro picks for you as well. It's Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand. Absolutely free. Now, back to more Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Do, 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 do. I like this tune. I always find myself humming it in bad places. When I'm in the washroom, when I'm in the line up at the places.
Why is the washroom bad?
Well, no, it's just I generally don't hum when I'm in the washroom. I'm quiet when I'm in the washroom. I'm a quiet individual.
You don't sing?
I don't sing. I don't have my cell phone. The most disgusting thing on the planet is when dudes are talking to their cell phone, talking on their cell phone when they're in the washroom.
What washroom do you go to?
There are a lot of people around here do it, man.
They talk on their cell phone?
I'm telling you the truth, man.
Man, that's awesome. That's a new one.
Yeah, anyhow.
Things you learn on this show.
Yeah, it is Baseball Central with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. The Jays have today off. They will play the Arizona Diamondbacks in a brief two-game series starting tomorrow. Mr. Barker and myself, I do believe we're pulling down some extra work as Blue Jays Central host. So you can drop by the ballpark, say hi to Kevin, get pictures, get selfies with him.
He's How about Arizona is 12 and a half out? In the West.
It's because of your Giants, the team that you predicted would win the World Series.
Yeah, they pitch, they get a big hit, and they got one of the best managers in baseball.
Yeah, it was a pretty good call. Saying. Cliff Floyd is one of our favorites, MLB analyst for the MLB Network. Mr. Floyd, how are you today?
Well, I'm good. Good. Just got up to Secaucus, New Jersey. So
you're getting ready to go into the studio.
Yeah, I got a late night with Harold, and you know, we'll see how it unfolds tonight. But
you sounded,
baseball's starting to get hot right now, fellas. So
yeah, it sounds like there's some trepidation in your voice about the late night with Harold.
Nah, Harold likes himself a lot, and we have
so's Jeff
accordingly.
I know how you feel. Jeff's the same way.
Here. I'm not the
likes
same way.
Himself
I'm very self-deprecating. one of your other MLB network colleagues, Ken Rosenthal, had an interesting report this weekend. And because it's Ken, we can presume that he's talked to Major League executives about this. He just hasn't pulled it out of his ass. But his contention was that Jose Bautista's desire for a 5-year contract at a free agency, that he may have to lower his sights a little bit based not only on this current injury, but just his performance this year. And further to that point, Cliff, Ken says that he thinks more teams might be focusing on Edwin Encarnacion, who is 3 years younger than Cliff, and Michael Saunders, who is younger than Jose Bautista, and is also having a pretty impressive year at a time where there's not a real deep free agent class. How do you view Jose's season, and do you think that there will be an impact on his marketability as a result of what we've seen so far?
I think so. I think rightfully so. I think when we see, you know, Asian superstars go down this road, it's always, you know, well, you know, the back of the car don't lie, and it don't, right? But we had numerous conversations about, you know, Joey and about, you know, his production. I think when you look at, you know, the player and you look at the age, you have to be smart. And I think everybody understands that you can ill afford to lose a guy like him. But he has to understand that, you know, these little nagging things are going to come up when you talk about injuries and you talk about his age. And I'm not saying he's declining because of his age. I'm just saying when you look at the whole of these big contracts to older, you know, ball players, they tend to just not work out.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, game plans, you know, are, you know, they're altered, right? You don't have to, you know, because you have, you know, X, Y, and Z don't mean A, B, and C don't work. You know, and I think, you know, as we move forward, the money will take care of itself. I think when you look at the production, and, you know, you can never predict the numbers. But I think overall, you know, you have to have a plan B for a situation like this. And you know, you don't ever want to be in a predicament where you missed the boat because of your asking price. You want everybody on board to be able to get your services. And I know he'll be smart about that in his camp.
You know, Cliff, one of the things I find really interesting, we had Pat Gillick on last week, and we talked about the Phillies rebuild. And Pat's point was, look, you know, one of the things we've done is we're looking ahead to that free agent class, the 2018-2019 free agent class, when you've got Manny, you've got Donaldson, you've got Bryce Harper, Andrew McCutcheon, Adam Jones, Clayton Kershaw, Jose Fernandez, I mean, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm wondering if maybe we're not close enough to that free agent period that teams are going to be looking at this winter's free agents and going, you know, maybe we'll get on board with these guys for 3 years and pay them a lot of money, but we don't really want to get locked into a 5-year contract so that we're paying a 41-year-old Jose Bautista $24 million at a time when Andrew McCutcheon might be on the market or Manny might be on the market. And I'm wondering if maybe we're not going to see the beginnings of a lot of teams looking ahead to that free agent period, because they're going to be World Series one in free agency in 2018. There will
right.
be.
Right. And it will be, Jimmy. I think you're absolutely right. But, you know, in this game, you know, we always talk about window of opportunity. And when you look around the game, you look at the parity, and you look at all these teams that are starting to play, you know, high-quality type baseball, for me, you know, the services of a power guy, as we look around at some of these teams, when you look at the Mets, you look at some of these teams, are the Cleveland Indians don't have their star in Michael Brantley. So teams that are winning and feeling good about themselves right now, and I'm not saying the Mets feeling good about themselves, their offense is off the charts, not good right now. A lot of injuries have derailed them. But I think when you talk about these teams and their lack of production and what a one guy did for a team last year, when we look at Cespedes going to the Mets and how he changed the second half, there's going to always be a market for these guys, but you're absolutely right. 18 is when everybody's going to look at. But teams that's on the cusp that are winning and feeling good are going to look at, as you mentioned, the 3 years and go, let's take a flyer. Let's take a flyer on this if he's willing to take 3 years. Because while you, like I said, while 3 years might be what you have to take, there's nothing wrong with adding in, you know, a couple optional years and saying, hey, if I do X, Y, and Z here, then boom, pay me for these next couple years and I'll go home happy. So, I mean, you always have to be creative as you get older. But still, when you're talking about, as you mentioned, 41 years of age, you're talking about what he's been able to accomplish in his career, where he's come from. He's made a ton of dough. I don't think a couple of dollars here in 1 or 2 years should stop him from going to a situation that will be, you know, profitable for him, first of all, and then also a chance for him to play where he wants to play. That's the ultimate for any ball player.
Yeah, Cliff, you look at the American League East now, and you look, Boston's obviously a lot better. They're younger. They hit the ball a lot. They hit the ball out of the ballpark. The Blue Jays all of a sudden are, you know, one of the top-tier teams, especially in the American League East and around the American League. Well, with that said, and you have to outscore people and you have to drive in runs and you have to hit home runs, well, if there's no Jose, and we'll say hypothetically there's no Edwin in Encarnacion, what does that do for the Blue Jays? How did the Blue Jays consistently start winning games? Because I think we're seeing now that the Blue Jays can't win the American League East with just pitching. You have to score a lot of runs, and if you don't sign either one, or you don't sign, you know, Edwin after you don't sign Jose, what did the Blue Jays do, and how much pressure does that put on Mark Shapiro?
Well, it's a lot of pressure, but also, you know, I've said this about teams, and I've said this about one team that, you know, I'm not going to put them in the same boat, but I'll just say this. When I looked at Colorado before they got rid of Tulo, I'm going, they'll still be fine. You know, I thought they could even get rid of Cargo and still be fine. Now, you have to bring on guys, and I think when you look at their roster, you know, LeMahieu and Trevor Story has done his thing. Nolan Arenado was an MVP. Charlie Blackmon, you can go on down the list. They've done a pretty decent job of being able to, you know, produce some offensive players. I don't believe – right now I've always said this about Toronto. They're one-dimensional. Now you're starting to incorporate, you know, Travis is back. Michael Saunders, as you mentioned, JB earlier, is having a terrific year. You know, you look around, Carrera has been what, you know, what Gibby has needed from a leadoff situation at the top of that order. You know, they have to be able to manufacture, to your point, to your question. And if you can't do that, then you have to be able to say, hey, you know, we have to bring one of these guys back, because you can ill afford to lose that big bopper in the middle of that lineup. Now, you know, can you trust the Michael Saunders? Can you trust that some of these guys are going to be what we've seen? I don't know if necessarily you can trust that. Tulo's back healthy. Hit a bomb yesterday. It's good to see. But to me, when you have that depth, it's just hard for me to let go, especially when you see so many teams thirsty for that offense today and losing one guy or even possibly two would deflate any locker room moving forward. And that's just my thought on that team as I look at it as a whole.
Yeah, you know, we've had conversations on this show, and everybody's trying to figure out what's wrong with Marcus Stroman. He's had, you know, we'll say six okay starts and then one against the Phillies that he did pretty good. But, you know, it's the Phillies, and you don't look a whole lot into that because they're one of the worst hitting teams in baseball. What are you seeing with Marcus Stroman? I see that you sort of lose your mojo. You know, Marcus Stroman's a certain guy. He's got an attitude. He's yelling at people. He's holding up the outs to his fielders behind him. He is what he is. That's the kind of person he is. That's the kind of player he is. You don't want to take that away from him. Somehow, somewhere, he's lost that. That's what I see. What are you seeing with Marcus Stroman?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things. You know, he's 5'8", ball of fire, love him on the mound. Always, you know, we sort of, you know, direct message each other every once in a while. I just love his tenacity. I love everything about him. He brings it. And you want that. On the flip, you have to be able to tame that, but also still, you know, go out there and be you. You know, this is when you find out, you know where the heart is, you know, because he always talks about, you know, height doesn't measure, you know, heart or something he says along those lines. JB, you got to help me out because you're on Twitter all the time. But
height,
you know,
doesn't measure heart, I think.
There it is. So when you talk about all these things, because that's when he was at his highest. He was balling out of control. He was pitching, you know, on another level. And he was an ace, bona fide ace. They needed him as, like, everything after, you know, stroke. And even talking to his homeboy, you know, Sanchez last week, he was like, look, this is a little blimp. He'll figure it out. I'm thinking he's going to figure it out as well. But when you watch him make the mistakes he's made, it's one of those things where he has to take a step back, look at some of the things he's doing and the mistakes he's making. You know, trust his fastball. His fastball is electric. Get it back down in the zone. Stop throwing all this junk up there, because guys are sitting on his off-speed stuff because his fastball is not locating or he's not hitting the spots. So when you're not doing those things, me as a hitter, I'm going to go up to the box and eliminate some of your pitches. He has to get back to that mojo of feeling like, you know what, you can't hit me because I might be 5'8", but I'm sitting there 7 feet. And if he has to pitch to that capability.
until that happens, of course, the game plan is off. But he's good enough, in my opinion, to go with something else that's going to get his teammates into that dugout and put himself in a position to win a ball game. So I don't think he's far off. I really don't. I think he's made a few mistakes, even yesterday. Little things happen when you're struggling, right? The umpire gets hit, you know, gets cup checked. Now he's sitting out there on the mound for what? I don't know how long. What, five minutes till the umpire's change?
It's more than 10,
and
I believe.
Thinking about, yeah. Right? Maybe more than that. Maybe 10 minutes, right? So he's thinking about, you know, what he has to do. This game will do that to you. It will challenge you at your worst times. So he has to figure out how to get back to being under control, keeping his composure out there, and just doing what we've seen him do a lot out there on the mound.
Cliff, we appreciate you joining us. Thanks so much.
No doubt. Thanks for having me, fellas.
Cliff Floyd of the MLB Network. So there you go. He agrees with you about Stroman. I'm calling uncle.
Hey.
Not that it's just because it's Cliff I'm calling uncle, but I've been out.
I said there's something to.
I've been out mojoed by two former players. I know when to run the white flag up.
Curtis Luskanic, whenever I was struggling, quick little story about me. I was struggling like crazy, and I'd go around to all these. Instead of going to your hitting coach, sometimes you go to pitchers, and I would go to pitchers and say, hey, when I'm struggling right now, how would you get me out? And he said, all I have to do is look on the on-deck circle and look at your demeanor and the way you are standing on the on-deck circle and walking to the plate. It means something because you want to go there. You want to do well. You're excited. You know that if I put a good swing, I get a good pitch to hit. I'm going to put it in play, and I'm going to have success. Do you see that with Stroman right now? No. Hmm. Until he gets that back and being himself, we're going to have this conversation.
You know what time it is? Ah, mon chéri d'amour. Come into my room and see my baguette.
Never say that to me again.
All right, it is time for Kevin Barker's Euro picks. How did Mr. Barker do on Friday? I know he got screwed by Northern Ireland, he said, eh? Travis has been off since Wednesday, so he doesn't know. You said you got screwed by Northern Ireland or
something.
They
won 2-0.
Yeah. Okay.
So I don't know if that's...
All right. Well, we'll add that up. But in the meantime, a couple of big matches today at 3:00, starting out with England and Slovakia.
I'm going England 1-0 because they have trouble scoring. What is it? Points? Is that points? Is that what you call it?
Goals.
Well, points, goals. They put it in the net, right?
Yeah.
There's a net, and they try to kick it in it, right? Yeah. Okay. So 1-0 England.
All right. That's not bad. Russia and Wales. This is a dicey one. This is a dicey one. And by the way, I've called Wales as my dark horse team in this tournament.
Oh, you did? Well, I'm going to pick them, but yep. Not for that reason.
Why are you picking Wales?
Well, you got because of their on their set pieces.
Yes.
And you got to watch Ashley Williams.
Yeah.
On their set pieces. That's why I'm picking Wales 2-1.
2-1. Due to their ability on set pieces.
Yes. Was that a good answer?
That's a great answer.
Man. Huh?
We're gonna turn you into a footy fan.
Wow.
Pretty soon you're gonna be saying nil instead of nothing, and you're gonna start predicting ties.
Never.
And pitches.
Ties.
You refer to field as pitches.
I have a tough
draws,
time watching
draws to be a fan, and you'll call fields pitches. It'll be great.
I have trouble watching 90 minutes of anything.
And you the best
with a tie. Nobody wins.
The best one is when they talk about how teams have their tails up after they score. They get their tails up. That means that they're happy.
Man, this show is just full of information.
Huh. It is indeed. Well, I learned today that I was wrong about Marcus Stroman.
Well,
because you and Cliff tag teamed me, which I found really unfair. It's like you should never poke fun at the fat, stupid guy.
Well, he's played before a lot more than I have, and it's all about talking yourself into certain things. I talk myself into coming on this show every day. Huh?
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You'll notice that I have no answer for that. For Cliff Floyd and Kevin Barker, I'm Jeff Blair. Thanks for joining us in Baseball Central. There will be no Blue Jays baseball tonight. We do have Buffalo Bisons, though, I believe, right, Travis? Bisons baseball at 7:00.
Louisville River Bats, I think.
You're big in Louisville,
yes.
Aren't you?
Yes.
You were the King River Bat in Louisville. All right. For Barker, I'm Jeff Blair. Have a great day, everybody.